Yeah, you've never seen that video?
No.
Oh, it's so
cool. I'm old, man. What do you got to be, like on the talk? Or
the Joe Byron video?
Because you're on TikTok.
Yeah, but I only watch the girls who dance.
With the big butts?
Not the dancing girl?
I'm the guilty. Workout no. videos, okay.
I watch the workout videos.
Just type it on YouTube. Big bong.
Yeah. All right, I'll do that later because I don't want to do that now. Are we going to go? Are we going
to
do this?
We're going on air.
You tell him when to go.
All right, we're going to do this, Micah.
Go ahead, Micah.
Yeah, hit it, buddy.
Now you hit
we're going to get started.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now.
Okay, that's it.
All right, ready. All right, guys, welcome back to Bent Motorsports Podcast. Today we've got Tommy New, and I know some of you out there already know who he is. He's pretty much the Jeep Wizard up in Rosemond.
Yeah,
which is north of Lancaster, and it's I don't want to say wrecking yard. I feel like wrecking yard is a bad term. I feel like a Jeep repurposing facility.
Yeah, like a special. Like I only do Jeeps. Well, Corvettes, but yeah, I,
not bad
but just Jeeps. I've been doing Jeeps my whole life. So
yeah. So a little bit of his background. He's an engineer. I think right now flight test engineer. You were saying at, north of Grumman. So. Imagine a guy who's super smart, engineer style, and then decides he wants to figure out how to dissect every single Jeep on the planet and know everything there is about him. So that's what he's done. And when we get Jeeps here that are wrecked, crashed, rolled, messed up in some way, I call Tommy and he basically, oh, I know what you need. We were going to convert something.
I don't talk like that.
Yeah, like a little nerd. Just,
I'm not a real engineer. I just faked him.
He got his glasses on. Yeah.
He's on with the tape rolled around.
Yeah, he's got tape on the center of his glasses. No, he just knows a lot about Jeeps. We did a conversion. Six-speed was an old TJ that had a three-speed automatic, and we put a six-speed in it, right? And so I went to Tommy, and he's walking me around his property, going from container to container, into piles of things that look to me just like fucking scrap rubble. And he's like, you need one of these. You're going to need two of these. You need six of these. You're going to need that. And basically just fucking outfitted us with it. And we came back and it all bolted on and bam, fucking six speed in this Jeep, right? Yeah. He sold us stuff for a couple of rolled vehicles that we've had, panels, replacements. So anyways, he's a Jeep repurposed guy and he's on Instagram and Facebook. I'll let him tell you where it's at because I have no clue how to use the social media, but. Anyways, Tommy, thanks for being here.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
And thanks, guys.
Let's know a little bit about yourself.
So, I guess come out of a Texas. That's originally I'm from.
El Paso?
Yeah. El Shithole, yeah. Wait,
what was the racetrack we went to?
El Votto.
Oh, yeah.
Votto Speedway?
Votto Speedway, yeah. It's off I-10. Yeah. Between, like state line between, New Mexico and Texas.
Dude, that place is so, it was so cool.
Yeah. Well, there used to be a place called Speedway Track, and my granddad was a wrecker. Driver.
Really?
So yeah, my dad did circle track cars, and so I grew up at a dirt track, and then kind of got into Jeeps. But I've been doing Jeeps since like I was like 9 years old. I think is when I first started, and now my son. You guys are probably my kids out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I just got doing it, and then my dad's best friend got into Jeeps. My dad got a second Jeep when I was third Jeep. I was like in second grade, so I grew up in the back of a '79 CJ7.
Yeah.
And my face blown around in the back. So yeah, I did that. I built my very first Jeep. It was a 79 CJ5. Every A I got a part. I just built it from frame up and drove it all through high school. I actually still have it at the back of my shop. But everyone's like, oh, it's a YJ. No, it's a CJ5. But I put a YJ front clip on it in like 94, like 95 or something like that. I put a YJ front clip. So I did all that, had that. And then when I got in the military, I kind of did like side gigs for people to, get extra money at the auto hobby shop. You know what an auto hobby shop is. Yeah, just.
That's Kevin behind the camera over there. That's the best place for him.
Hustle and stuff like that.
You were a Marine. That's different.
I wasn't a Marine. Don't do me like that. I don't need crayons.
You're a Marine. Stupid. You're a Marine. He's not.
No, he just sounds an engineer. So how could I be a Marine and an engineer? It doesn't work. Just kidding. My bad. So I joined the Air Force, became an F-15 crew chief, which is just a knuckle dragon jet guy. So yeah, getting soaked in JP and hydro forever. I just started doing Jeeps when I moved. I got stationed over at Edwards. Some engineer gave me a 77 two-door Cherokee Y-Track with a 401. He's like, hey, I got a Jeep. My buddy wrecked it and totaled it. He actually broadsided an Astrovan and killed like four.
Oh, fuck. Oh,
my God. This is like nuts. I'm like, So he's like, yeah, come get it. So by myself at like midnight in Cal City, if anyone knows where that shit is. Oh, yeah.
It's nice.
That's we used to race
nice.
There.
That is a shithole. Yeah. God, it's horrible.
It's a ghost town.
It's a shithole. So I was literally in my dually. Not even have my dually yet. Anyway, I was driving it, towing it down the street with just me. No one in it. And the wheels are all bent out for like 5 miles to get to my backyard. And he was like, hey, it's got like some 403 motor. And in my head, a 401. That's the biggest get on there AMC on you, but that's the biggest motor AMC ever produced. A lot of people think they're big blocks, but they're not. I sold that thing on eBay to a guy in Tahiti. He's still a customer.
No shit.
Yeah, wow. And then it just went from there and it started. And then
so that was what started the whole.
Yeah, I had this like shithole house. It took 9 years for them to rent this place out. It was like I was embarrassed to get people to come over to buy parts. You know, I was like super humble beginnings. I had like 5 Jeeps in the backyard, one in the driveway, and just total wrecking them out like all hillbilly white trash.
Yeah.
But that's what bought the place I'm in now. And just grew and grew. And that's what I do. And then just keep going. And it's been, I don't know, like 13 years or something. But
yeah.
I'm a Jeep dork. Total nerd about it. I've owned them all.
Yeah, which is rad for us because all we got to do is call. And
he
answers the question. He knows everything there is to know.
Well, and it's like, not everything, it
like
but
that stupid parking brake cable thing that we needed.
Dude.
Like 2 seconds in, you're like, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'll put it in the mail tomorrow.
Dude. And then
the emergency brake pedal.
3 hours about this.
Yeah.
Oh, I still owe you for that.
No, you don't.
We were searching. I think we had
next dated.
Yeah.
We had O'Reilly's, AutoZone, like 3 other places bring us the same one. And it's like, no, this isn't the right one. It's got a different shape to it. Like, it's not the same.
Different.
Yeah.
Tommy knew which one it was.
It's because everybody always gets those. If you knock a brake drum off, your wheel falls out. Like, somehow, if you lose your drums on an accident or something, it's gone. And you can't find
it. It broke her whole wheel off.
Yep, and then it's gone.
That part's on the street somewhere.
Yeah.
Or in someone's tire.
I hate to break this up right now, but we totally forgot to introduce Hannah.
That's okay.
That's fine.
So, her new nickname is now Second Thought Hannah. Down here at the end, Huntsinger's not here. He's doing a secret project that we can reveal later. So Hannah's filling in for Jake, and if she does a good job, then maybe we'll just replace Jake, because why not?
Right.
Yeah.
But anyways, Hannah has a background in motorsports and various items, and she's going to start helping us out here at the shop, doing some fabrication out in the shop, but also helping me because I'm mentally blocked when it comes to computers. So she's showing me how to work the computer. Yeah, do this. She doesn't do that, but I do that.
He's up with two fingers now.
Everybody. Yeah, that's how I type quickest, just with one finger at a time, actually.
Yeah. So I'm a two-finger typer now. But so anyways, Hannah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me. I'll do my best, but no promises. Yeah,
feel free to speak up anytime because we will railroad you if you don't speak up.
Her head went right where I went. I was like, yeesh, God, what did I step into? Jeez.
Look,
that's straight from the background.
Looked over to him like, you need to get me out of here.
Am I getting paid to do this?
With that word, you ought to.
Wait, does that mean something now? I'm old. Is that something new?
I don't think it's that new, man. I'm not that much.
We should pick a new topic.
Back to Tommy.
So Jeeps.
Yeah.
So about this Jeep stuff.
So Tommy's here today because why would he come all the way down from where he lives up in beautiful Rosemond to come down to San Marcos? I needed a JK 4-door chassis for my CJ6 project that I just picked up, and he was kind enough to deliver it down here for me. So why not parlay into a podcast? We wanted to have him on here for a long time, so we convinced him to stick around. So I have a JK 4-door chassis. We're going to chop a foot out of it, and he's chopped him up before, showed us the trick. We're going to get it shortened, and we're going to put a CJ6 body on it, and we're going to put an LS engine in it and the whole standard other thing. We're not going to do 1-tons right now, because we've got 2 Dana 44 with e-lockers just chilling out there
for JKs.
Oh, yeah.
So we're just going to
trust them. You'll be fine.
We're just going to throw JKs under them. We haven't decided what lift kit we're going to do. If we're going to just throw an Evo kit on it or something and just keep it super simple, super JK.
Or even if like CJ body. You pull stuff off other people's vehicles. I mean, you can part something together. It's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Some adjustable, you know, links or whatever. And then as far as the most important thing is the coils. Make sure you get dual rate coils. And just,
right.
I mean, I usually only go through Rock Crawler and Metal Cloak, but they pretty much, I think, have the best coils. But
yeah.
You can get whoever's arms. They're all basic things.
Yeah. Well, we were looking at some
quality springs. Yeah. That's what I have. I have that rock crawler kit on my first JK. I had one, and then Gladiator. I built a rock crawler on there. So too.
Yeah,
great parts. Yeah,
yeah,
good stuff.
Mean, we sell them all the time. We probably put.
Am I getting shorter over here, guys? You're I feel like my chair is.
Well, the thing that's funny is when people come in here and they go, "Oh, what lift do I get?" and this and that. You know, it's like, well, I'm just talking from experience of what I've personally put on. Right, like I see the parts, and I go, "Wow, this is a nicely built part." You
yeah,
know? Like
for sure,
I like the way the joints are. Way I like better. This. I like that. So it's like we're not making more or less money to sell you a Rough Country kit. You know, like I want you to be happy so that I don't have you complaining in like a month when you're going, this thing creaks and yeah, rattles and bumps.
Trying to give you guys his core chiropractor yeah. bill because he went out and beat the shit out of his back on a yeah. shit lift. Yeah.
We get I've Amazoners in here every yeah. now and then.
But I can get it for this much. By yeah. all means, go, pal, go have at it. But don't call me when you need it installed.
We tell
and
them
they will.
Go right over to Four Wheel Parts and have it
yeah.
installed.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. I kind of talk a lot of shit about Rough Country.
Yeah,
we tell them like
don't even install them.
Like I have stuff come in and I'll resell it and stuff. But if somebody tells me, I'm like, I mean, if you absolutely have to, I guess. But
yeah.
If you want, like, I won't even.
You can see where they've like powder coated right over the hot rolled metal.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
Yeah, you get what you pay for. I tell people there's a couple things you can go kind of skimpy on and cheap on.
Yeah,
you don't necessarily have to go with a Warren Evo or the Evo is a good brand.
Those are still the American-made ones, or no?
There's nothing American-made. They're American assembled.
Assembled. That's America. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, go with a Warren. But there's some things you can skip on. The wheels, you can get like an off-brand wheel.
Yeah.
You can get an off-brand kind of winch like that. But suspension, absolutely. You can't. Yeah.
You can't skip on suspension.
Absolutely not.
We do the same thing with lights too. It's so funny because you get the guys that are like, dude, I need every Baja design that they make on this thing like now. And then there's the other people that they'll go. Amazon the living daylights out of it, and the wiring is just horrendous. And you're like, dude, do you want to pay me like $8,000 to fix all the wiring? Because it looks terrible.
Well, here's the deal. Like, I keep certain lights that come in off these parted Jeeps, and it's obvious what they are. You see the lenses, they're all yellowed like shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you go to Amazon, this is what you're gonna get in 6 months out here in Southern California.
Yeah.
Like I tell people, all my stuff is Baja Designs. Those guys are amazing. They're cool the most genuine guys. Yeah. I went out to KOH. And I think I hit a Brandon. You guys probably know
yeah.
Brandon. Oh, Brandon, yeah. He's yeah. rad.
Yeah, all those guys. Our guy.
So I was like, man, I need this. Can you guys have it? And he's like, oh, I got one in the trailer. Here you go. Do it to me with a beanie. I'm like, they're so freaking cool. And that's the only people, like, if somebody wants me to do a build on their stuff, I was like, there's certain products that you have to buy. If you, I won't install them if they're not. And Baja Designs is one of them. I won't rip. There's some other lights out there that are comparable, okay, but I pretty much stick with Baja Designs.
Yeah.
They're on all my rigs.
That's what we have on all of our vehicles. Yep. Every one of our vehicles has it.
Yeah, there's a reason for it, though.
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh, and we got to put my lasers on. I picked up some S1 lasers.
Dude, those, I have S2 Pros just because of the con. I guess the S1s are good too, but the S, just because of the how
the housing.
Yeah. They go better with. Look at the vehicle. Mm-hmm. I have those as just reverse lights on my Gladiator and my last JK.
Yeah,
dude, it's like having headlights in the back. Yeah. I mean, people are like, are you shitting me? I was like, yeah.
Well, I just did flush mount S1s in my taillights.
Even the S1s are great.
Yeah.
I did a guy's LJ. I took off all the Chinese Amazon bullshit and I put all Baja Designs. And then I did on a swinging tire carrier, I mounted two S1s on the tire carrier.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to ever swing your tire out and use the lights elsewhere, they weren't mounted to your bumper. You could swing them out and you had...
Like camp
roughly lights. 90 to 110 degrees of just lighting all the way you wanted to swing it.
That's
you
cool.
To use it as a tool too. Way cool.
Yeah.
Jake stuff just is made rad. A bracket.
Yeah, we can talk about Jake's.
Yeah, so Jake just designed a bracket for his JK that goes behind the grill and mounts an S1 in every, the middle five slots of the grill.
Because the outside ones, there's like the core support part that goes there.
You don't have room for them.
Yeah, so this will be available on our website soon. So everybody, if you want to look at them, just... Keep going. We're building our website now.
Oh, that's right.
So a little bracket, and then it puts them right there.
And it fits.
It fits so nice.
So nice in there.
You powder coat that bracket black.
And yeah.
It kind of fits in. Yeah.
Yep.
That looks good.
Yeah. So
I've had that idea.
Oh, yeah. Are they on Instagram right now? Yeah. So if you go to our Instagram, you'll see them on there on one of the stories, I think. Yeah.
I've had that idea for like a couple years now, and I finally got all the lights to do it. And like,
but we've never done. But we've never done my Jeep grill.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, you can also take those S1s. That's what I did on both of my last two and take out the, because you know, when you change bumpers, you take out the factory fog lights or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can wire up those S1s to the factory fog light switch and just hit them. And you don't have to run extra wiring.
Yeah.
You just plug them right into your factory fog lights.
Baja Designs makes a couple kits for the JKs.
They do make plug and play JKs.
That's what I did on my Gladiator. I just snipped the factory fog lights off, and I mounted the S1 Pros. Like, I have LP6s right there, and then the S1 Pro just off to the side, pointing out.
Yeah,
it's so perfect.
Yeah, I had them as fog lights for a while, and I had them with just the regular like spot lenses. And dude, I was like, okay, I can't run these on the street. Like, they're actually too bright.
Yeah, I have the LP6s.
Yeah,
like 10,000 something.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody flashes me as a dick, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, okay.
I see straight into their soul.
What's my light bar I have right now?
That's it. I looked it up. I think it's 26,000 lumens for the 50.
So I have,
is
like,
that the one with the bunch of round little lights and stuff on them?
Yeah.
So I'm doing that on my new JK build. I'm putting that on there.
A 50-inch one of those. I've got LP4s on my A-pillar.
Damn.
And then I've got S1 lasers on the bumper.
Jesus.
So if you flash me, I'm going to fucking melt the front of your car off.
That's why I keep all my XL80s covered on my one Jeep.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much temptation for me to just be like, hi, baby.
Yeah, I got to keep them all covered.
Yeah, my Gladiator, just because I got the LED package, they're already bright. People flash the shit at me all the time. I'm like, I get it. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. So I don't, I'm not like Mr. Dick and just as soon as I can.
Yeah.
I am.
You have more self-control than I do.
Yeah. Well, it depends. It depends. Yeah. It depends who it is, though. Yeah. When someone's like doing 40 in the fast lane, I'm like, I'm sorry. So
Yeah,
I can see through your seat what you ate for lunch.
Yeah, it's funny. X-ray machine.
Yeah,
we're building we're building our website. We're building an actual website so that we can sell product from our website versus just an informative website. And Hannah's helping me with it. And so all this week has been entering in the Baja Designs lights. So my brain is already like I can't believe how many options there are. Like, I'm going in there and trying to enter in every single Baja Designs product into my website.
It's taken you an entire week just to input. So,
I'm
like,
sure. Yeah. All the different SKUs and part numbers and
it's
stuff.
Like, okay, I'm going to do this one. This one is a spot dry. This one's a driving combo, white, clear, or whatever. Driving combo clear, spot clear, wide angle clear, work clear.
In then, Paris, not in
spot
Paris.
Amber.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude.
With a wiring harness, without a wiring harness.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah, I haven't even got into the accessories, like all the little lenses and covers and shit yet, but. Yep. What's cool is that we'll have everything Baja Designs offers on our website. Which
you guys
is cool.
Know they're coming out with a new, like, legit, like, headlight now.
Yeah, the DOT, right?
They're coming out with a DOT-approved headlight.
For JK or JL?
I think they're coming out for, like, the TJs, too.
Is it application-specific? Is it truly application-specific?
Well, for the JLs, they have to be application, but JKs and down, it's just your average.
Just around
from the damn 60s, a 7.5-inch round.
I'm going to put those on the Beamer. That has H4s.
Yeah, they were. One of their sales reps called me and asked me, like, hey, what do you think we could do? I was like, a headlight. You need a headlight.
Yeah.
Because on all my stuff, I run the truck lights, which I think got bought out by Rigid just for that light. I'm like, that's the only headlight I run. You guys need to do something comparable because... That's it. If your guys are missing anything from your product line, it's a DOT headlight. And they're like, we've been hearing that. And they
just pushed hard on their SAE, their
fogs.
Yeah.
Those squadrons now, they just changed all those.
Yeah. And now they're giving if you have the old ones, just send them to us. We'll hook you up. I'm like, are you shitting me? Yeah.
Which is super cool.
Which is really neat considering that we've known Baja Designs for a long time, has been this family run. The local guys we've dealt with. The family in the past, and we're a preferred installer for those guys.
Yeah.
And then they got bought out by Best Top.
Yeah, Best Top and PRP.
PRP, right? Parent company owns all those.
All those guys. That's happening across the entire industry.
So I thought, great. This is, I've seen this happen before. Yeah. This is going to suck. These guys are going to get put under the thumb of corporate, and they're not. It's not the case, dude.
Yeah.
They're still able to be them.
They just said, just keep doing whatever you guys are doing.
Yeah, whatever you guys are doing is working.
Well, obviously they're doing it right.
Yeah.
Don't fix something that's not broken.
So any of you out there who've heard that they got bought out, they did, but doesn't matter. Those guys are still super legit. All the same guys are there. It's, it's just like Alan wanted
to
be, I think.
There's so many companies doing that.
Right. Yeah, I'll believe Alan's stoked about it.
Yeah. They're local to us. They're right down the road, so we would know.
We deal with Brennan. He's our guy. We know a lot of guys over there, but Brennan,
half a dozen guys that are there.
Yeah, we had Brennan on a podcast years ago, and when the lasers first came out. And
we were in the parking lot, and literally shining it on the houses across the freeway,
they're
up
nuts.
On a hill, probably a mile away.
Somebody in the house is like, what the fuck is going on over there? Shining a light on me, and he's down
search
here.
Warrant. Yeah. Someone's getting fucked up.
Yep. Yeah. Super sick.
That's rad.
Play a part in building their Jeep for the kickoff for Easter Jeep Safari.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
It was super cool.
They were here today.
Yeah, they were here today.
Like an hour ago. Super cool.
That's rad.
Yeah. They're
on their truck too.
On their truck, on their too, truck yeah.
too, yeah.
They always have some badass truck at SEMA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a extended cab F-150 this year, or last year right. at SEMA. Jesus Christ. I'm like, ugh.
I know. Yeah. That's some sick stuff.
Although, like, the retro builds and stuff like that has become real popular.
Brennan's one that he has personally. That thing is bad.
Which one is that one?
That's the old
F-150.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that thing gets down.
Big old, like, Fox 4.0 bypasses on the back that are maybe even bigger than that. I don't know. The thing is just massive.
Huge.
Yeah.
Those big money shots.
So, yeah. So in the Jeep world, what is one thing that you've noticed in the Jeep world dealing with selling aftermarket or selling these parts?
Yeah.
Like what's, is there anything out there that, I don't know, that's like a myth or people don't understand, or what's your biggest thing that you have to educate, you know, shops like us on, or even just the general public? Like what's
probably
your-
like some of the interchangeable stuff. I get a lot of the, I don't know if it's old guys, but I get some people that are like super hard headed, and this was more so when I was younger, 'cause I was in my 20s when I was doing this, and then they'd come out and be like, who's Tommy? I'm like, me. They're like, you're the guy I'm talking to. Like, how fucking old are you? Yeah, that's what I get.
Yeah.
I've had some real people say some shit. Get kind of demeaning, but mainly it's just like myths like that. Like they'll say, hey, I want to build a Jeep from scratch, but I want to build a CJ. Okay, cool. Do you have a CJ frame? I said, yes, but let me sell you a YJ frame. Well, no, I want a CJ. Dude, build a YJ frame and tub. Better tubs, way better frames, easier to mount stuff to because they're mandrel bent. Square by 2x4 square tubing. Mm-hmm. CJ is like two pieces of C-channel shit welded together. You can't mount shit to them. They break and crack. I've literally pulled motors out with the tractor and watch frame rails go. And I have to stitch them all back together to sell the frames and stuff. Yeah. There's that. Just swap stuff. People calling, do they want your expertise? And then immediately, well, I know more than you. Well, then why are you?
Completely disagree with
yeah, like I'm telling you, this why is what you're required. No. I heard. Where'd you hear it from? Some shithead online that's owned a Jeep for 6 months and now they're...
Yeah, they're an expert.
Yeah.
They went on a forum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, no, this...
Our industry is worse.
Yeah, it is because of some of the crap that goes around. But I guess myths would be just swap. I guess on my end, the swapping parts.
Say a TJ. No. Yeah, TJ, they had a four-cylinder option, right? Which was the 2.5?
2.5 until 03, and then they went to the dual overhead cam 2.4.
Right. So we've had customers come in, they've got the 2.5, and they're like, we want to convert it to the 4-liter. And I'm like, well, go buy a new Jeep.
Yeah, I literally tell people, they're like, oh, it's just a motor, right? And I'm like, no.
No.
For one, everyone can swap parts until you realize you have to cut the motor mounts off the frame.
Yes.
Move them forward. Yeah. And they're like, oh. And it changes everything. I'm like, yeah. I'm telling you. It's not just the motor. Then you got to swap the train. Well, I can use my transfer case. Not really, because you're going from 21 spline to 23 spline, unless you have an automatic. And then, I mean,
and then the whole wiring harness.
Oh, I can get in. I can get away. Airbox, radiator, ECU, wiring. I mean,
that's our biggest one. Is we get a decent amount of people who want to. They know they've got the 4-cylinder that sucks. They want the 4-liter, and we're like, sorry, you just need to go buy the.
Yeah, and as far as the market goes, if it's a good running 4-cylinder, go sell it. Unless you have sentimental value. Just sell it and then buy a 6-cylinder. But if you absolutely want to do it, I guess one of these missed guys is the XJs. Oh, I bought this XJ for cheap. I'm like, oh shit. The amount of money.
Look at me.
The amount of money.
So much different.
No. buy a beat up XJ for a donor. It's you're going to spend just as much money if you would have got just a YJ parts, because most of the front accessories are completely different on an XJ versus a YJ. So you end up going to have to call somebody to get all YJ front accessories to make it right.
There's nothing on the front of those motors.
No, not really. So what you want to do is get a YJ and then just get a donor or buy it. Because I usually, and it all depends on mileage, if you want external slave or internal slave AX15 or what trend. I mean, it can be $1,500 worth of parts or $3,000 worth of parts. You know, and somebody's like, $3,000, I can buy it. I was like, have you checked the market lately?
Yeah, right.
You know, and a lot of things like, you're not calling me only for parts. It's like calling some dude at a wrecking yard. They know they're not especially the one. Place. If you call me, I'm going to tell you exactly what bolt you're going to need.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's no joke. He literally will tell you what.
Yeah, I've been doing this for freaking ever since I was a small kid. Yeah, I mean, I was poor. I didn't have any daddy's or mommy's money to build.
That's how I learned too. I mean, I'm a self-taught mechanic, you know, and I grew up just doing it myself out of necessity, and then it became a thing, right?
Yeah.
I think that we have a problem with that too. What we tell our customers too, right? You know, we want to build your vehicle. We tell them to come in, Tell us what you want. What yeah. do you, how are you going to use your vehicle? Right. And then we will help you build the vehicle to what you're going to use it for.
Yeah.
But we're going to tell you the best way to do that. Right. Yeah. And then if you have a budget, okay, well then we'll tell you the best way to do it within your budget.
And that's a certain things you can cheat from this. Right. This you can kind of cheat and go in a little lesser brand. Right. This you absolutely can't. And if you want to do that, then there may be a shop down the road that you can go to.
Yeah, but then the bottom line is we always tell them, buy once, cry once, right?
Oh, for like, sure. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You just
yeah.
need
yeah.
to I mean, do
we
it.
We just had this conversation personally.
Just do like, it.
Literally personally.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm building a CJ, and he starts telling me, what the fuck are you doing, David? You're doing exactly the thing our customers do. And I'm like, you're right, just order the shit.
Yeah.
Right? I'm being a bitch. Let's just order it.
Yeah. But it gets out of hand so really it. Fucking it fast. Fast. It gets out of hand.
Tell me about it.
Dude, my JK that I'm building right now, like yeah. I know people in the industry and I get deals or horse trade. I did a Generite Elite on my JK. Mm-hmm. I traded an LJ to do it. LJ cost me. I bought that that yellow off the grid LJ.
Yeah.
Remember that
one? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I bought that one. Cost me $13,000. That's what I traded. You know how much? It's 200 hours for a Generite Elite. Average $150 an hour. That's $30,000 in labor to do that kit.
Yeah.
I got it done for 13 and some change by trade.
Yep.
Yeah. So I did all this, and I'm not using any bullshit brand. Yep. Mass Motorsports is building an already built. I guess we'll get into that, but I'm JK is it's over at Denton Racing over in Phoenix.
Oh yeah,
Adam builds some badass shit.
Yeah,
his personal two doors.
Yeah, the 1,000 horsepower that absolutely blasts a set of 40s. Yeah. So he just built a brand new motor for that thing. I talked to him like twice, and I talked to him like at work for like an hour, like he's best friends. And I just went and dropped my Jeep. Super rad dude.
Yeah.
So he just put a new motor in it, new supercharger, and it'll be over 1,000 now.
Jeez.
Wow.
Those guys do incredible work.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's nuts. So it's nuts. Wild. So I'm doing the new Chevy, and 2020 came out with a L8T, mm-hmm. a full forged internal 6.6 liter, damn. And Mass Motorsports is building. And I did it before. I actually bought the motor before prices were ape shit. So 600 horsepower with accessories and everything for $9,500. You can't buy that.
No. Like,
spec'd out cam and everything, the one night cam I wanted.
Yeah.
So I'm having that done, but where we're going with the price and everything, I did all these deals and some of the labor myself and trades, and my Excel spreadsheet is already at 175.
Oh, man. You're
that my man. Jeep is, if you literally, if some Joe would come to you or some other shop said, this is what I want, you're like 260, 275.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Dude, that's Ferrari absolutely. Money.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
I make Excel spreadsheets, and then when they hit a certain number, they automatically delete. The whole spreadsheet deletes because I don't want to know at that point. Yeah, that's it. I built in a little thing that's like, oh, my, where'd my spreadsheet go? Oh, well, that's like, hit I the mean, number.
Yeah.
But I guess
you're not doing that project
I get that
anymore.
Frugal ass way too. So mine I bought used up in Sacramento. I jammed up there and bought it. It already had Curry's in it, 70 inches wide, so I know it fit the Elite. But it also had low miles. It had a bunch of racks and shit on it. It had a supercharger on it. I'm not going to use any of that stuff. However, I can sell all that shit and kind of make some money back on all that stuff. So I sold everything I could sell on that thing that I wasn't going to use. I sold it all just to kind of recoup some of that. That when you actually build one of those, I mean, it gets out of hand. So I understand where some of the customers are like, well, I don't have that kind of money. And no, I get it, but let me tell you where you can and you can't. Yeah. But what some customers don't understand is there's a certain type of build you want to do. You're putting your name on this. It's going to have Bent Motorsports on it. So you don't want a bunch of bullshit on there because somebody goes and wipes it out or does something like that. Well, who put all this bullshit parts on it? Yeah. Oh, I had Dave or Bent Motorsports do it. Your name is going on it. So if you want your name on it, you know, there's someone else
it's
down
like
the road.
Putting the wrong wing on a Subaru. Oh. You know?
That stings like somewhere around here. Like, that stings somewhere around here.
Oh, man. I'll fight it, old man. Well, I remember I have that crazy old man strength.
Yeah. Subaru's interior smells like bark. liberal tears and bark.
Over there. Can't defend himself.
It's funny how fast it's going to get out of hand because we went through it with Generite this week. Like, I reached out to them.
Yeah.
I like Generite boys.
Andrew's the man. Shout out to Andrew.
I reached out to him.
He's my boy.
And I was like, hey, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Cool. And he's like, I'll send you over a list. And like the list shows up on my email. I'm scrolling through. I'm like, why is this 3 pages?
There's a page.
Holy shit. Like, right next to me, I'm like, why is this 3 pages? I was like, I just told him I wanted just
50-something thousand dollars.
$53,000.
For an Elite?
Yeah,
I think it was
with axles.
Yeah.
That's why.
So that's what, and I was like, I called him back and I was like, I think we had a smidge of a miscommunication problem. And he was like, oh. And
so the
back and it's still $22,000.
Dude, like, that's. Telling you, that's not getting every option. If you get the 70-75 skid plate, 1600 bucks
But luckily, okay, we don't need the skid plate.
Yeah,
right?
So he told me, he's like, the one thing I guess we could opt out for is the skid plate because it's probably not going to fit anyway. And I was like, okay, thanks.
I'm and then there's, I mean, I did the same thing. And then I went with their aluminum skid plate for the gas tank because there's guys that put like 3/16 plate on fucking everything and they have an 8,000 pound JK. Yeah. I can't imagine why you're still blowing one tons.
That's
why
I put my LJ on a diet. Everything's aluminum now.
I build as much aluminum. The only thing that's not aluminum is my rear bumper and rock sliders. Yeah. Oh, my rock sliders because I beat the shit out of everything I own. And then my rear bumper, I actually did a frame chop, which you're not actually with their kit, you can't do. But Nick over there, we worked something. We did a rear frame chop. So, because I mean, they have a badass rear bumper, but it's like one of those, it's their roll cage too. The best roll cage you can get. However, because it's the best, everybody and their mothers has the same thing. So if you want to buy a cookie cutter, it's like,
What about their fuel tanks? Because I'm thinking about putting their 36 gallon fuel tank in my CJ.
Why do you need 36 gallons?
Because I like to drive forever.
No, dude, it's a big bitch. It's good. The reason I say is because I had an LJ that I bought from auction for inventory, and it was on the hauler, and I look up and I'm like, oh shit, Generite tank. That bastard is huge. It goes all the way back
up.
It does, but it's still big as shit. And you got to remember at what's fuel? 6.32 gallon. Pounds per gallon. You can put 36.
I thought it was 8.
Dude, that thing's going to be squatting like a motherfucker.
That's what I was trying to tell you.
You don't,
What size do they have?
The whole reason why
I think they have a good 25 gallon.
Yeah, so you can go to Cheesecake Factory.
Takes up the same amount of real estate. I mean, Andrew will correct me if I'm wrong.
I can get to the Cheesecake Factory down at the mall 17 times with that tank.
That's what the LJ's for.
Your spreadsheet's going to delete.
That's too much. Spreadsheet's
going to delete. Your LJ.
I'll get the smaller.
Well, just when he goes to Cheesecake, the gas tank will empty, but his gut will full. So I guess it kind of empties it out. Yeah.
Crawler.
We're trying to build this thing so David will actually wheel.
Yeah.
25 gallon. Because I think between the 20 and the 25 gallon, they take up the same amount of real estate and they look the same way. So that's what I did on the JK.
I don't need to write it down.
Yeah.
I need to write it down.
Because you're going to do an LS in the LJ eventually, right?
Yeah.
We had an original plan, but.
We had a customer walked in and said,
I don't blame you.
That's a bitchin' engine. How much you want for that? And I gave him the item. I'm not fucking selling it. Price. He went, cool. I'll take it.
Well, I got an LS2 for you. The same thing. Got a great run in LS2.
Fucking took it down to the forklift.
Good for you.
Regretted it every minute it drove away.
That was a Trailblazer Super Sport 400 horse. That was an LS2 as well.
Yeah, it was.
I think those are LS2s.
That was a reman motor, too. We found
out. Oh, he told me, and I was like, well, good for you, because I didn't know that. I didn't tear it into it. Yeah.
God, I regret it. We power washed it. Look. Brand new.
Brand new. I spent probably like an hour outside.
And I think
like
that's still aluminum power. Block motor, too.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was.
They had that goofy oil pan because the front diff, if you had the four-wheel drive.
Because it was all-wheel drive.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah.
But those things, have you ever driven one of those? Yeah, no. Those things scoot, man. All-wheel drive with 400 horse.
Oh,
my
God. They're so
my, those are fucking rockets.
Yeah.
They're badass. They've got a cult following to those.
Yeah.
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 They're like the SRT8 Jeeps.
Yeah. They're badass.
Yeah, such a sleeper too.
Oh yeah. Oh look, a mom car with 18s. Jeez.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Not so much.
Yeah, those things are.
That thing was rad. I so regret selling that engine.
It took a while to chop that thing up, and
but I mean, dude, he gave me so much money.
I don't blame you. I'd have done the same thing. Yeah, I know you kind of told me like I was gonna be like butthurt that you sold it.
Like, hey, Tommy,
I made money on you. Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. Good for you. Good for you.
Well, I feel bad. I'm like, he kind of gave me the homie price, you know, and then
now whatever.
And I fucking sold it.
Dude,
you never talked to him again.
I know. I eat the frame
sold,
today.
Sorry, bye.
Yeah.
Never call him again.
Like, people get so weird about money, dude. It drives me nuts. They're like, well, what I need is like, just tell me what you need for it. It's either yes or no. And if somebody buys something from you and they weren't a dick and talk you down, you got the money. Who gives a shit what they do with it? If they go and make fivefold on your deal, you should have asked that. Who gives a shit? Yeah. You got the money you wanted. Who cares? It's
right
like
person at the right
you
time,
hear people
right?
Like some of these old timers. If I would have known they were going to do that with the car owned, I wouldn't have sold to them. Dude, you got the money you want. It's theirs to do whatever they want to do. Who gives a shit?
You gonna check in with them every 6 months?
Yeah, like how's my baby? Like if you're that like mentally attached to it, don't sell the bitch.
Well, it's like the Mustang I just picked up for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're going to keep that, right? Yeah.
Until somebody offers me the right money.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if somebody walks in and goes, hey, I want to give you this much for it, I'm going to go, okay.
Yeah, I got a Jeepster Commando that I got for a song. It's all new. It's got an LS swap, all that blue one that's in the shop. Mm-hmm. The only reason I don't drive is because there's no cage in it. And I have a really nice bender, but I'm so busy. I built a handrail in my garage for my daughter when she was little. That's the most I built on a $3,500 tubing better. Oh, I don't have time.
That's a good first project.
Yeah, I nailed it. Two bends, nailed it.
Speaking of projects, don't you have a project, Hannah?
Yeah, we're going to have to build a cage. You want to come back?
What's it called? What's your project?
What's my project? I have a lot of projects going on. Which one are you referring to?
Don't you have a Ford?
Oh, yeah, I have a Ford, unfortunately. I'm sorry. But, yeah,
I'm talk Ford now.
Dude, I've got them all. You saw what I drove in.
Look.
That's a Ford.
Yeah. I got a Ford, too. I got a free Mustang on the rack, and I got a Ford truck out front. So go ahead. Yeah.
We've got a few Ford projects going on, actually.
Yeah, we're big three here. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not into the import world like Subarus and shit. But
I'm into the, like... Mr. Euro over here.
That is a huge
damn
finger.
Damn, another one.
That was a huge finger.
Do that again.
Bust your boyfriend in his huge finger.
Oh, that's funny.
I just hate that we can all see that wing from here.
Oh, yeah, God. Right, that's right.
The window there. Windows close open. Those blinds.
Looks like a taco shelf.
Yeah. Can you close the window,
That's better.
There you go. That's better.
It's a shopping cart. So anyway, what's your Ford project?
My guilty pleasure is the POS trucks. I like something that's just, it almost looks like it might fall apart and just needs some love. That's kind rad. Of like my bread and butter. So I've had a few OBS F-150s now, and my current one is probably the biggest pile of all. So,
I like the last one.
And that's the one.
Was
that
it like a 90s, like a 91, 92?
Yeah, this one's the 96 with the 5.8 motor. And I mean, it's not like horrible, but it definitely
needs. That motor's a good motor.
Yeah, it was the sought after motor of that generation.
It's like they mimic the gas old 351 motor, Windsor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
That's a good motor, and fuel injected too, because
the motor she's putting in my work truck next week, 351 Windsor.
That's rad.
We're gonna try.
No, you're gonna do it.
Yeah, No trying. It's all doing.
Yeah.
One of my absolute best memories of you is one of the first times we hung out.
Yeah.
She was too many of these to drive her own truck. And we get in her truck, and she's like, "Just so you know, this thing's kind of all over the road."
Okay, I had never driven. That was my first time driving an older I-beam I hadn't so the boat feeling, that you get from an I-beam truck, it was still a new concept to me, and so I was like, you have to be gentle and careful with this thing, and then Curtis just went
all the way one hand on the wheel, another hand hanging out the window, this isn't even that bad.
And
ever driven a worn out Jeep?
100% yes. A CJ.
Yeah. And I sat in the back with my head over the bench seat like a dog, just like, How are you doing that?
Yeah. old world vehicles, people tend to overdrive them. You just got to let them go.
Yeah.
Let them go with one hand. My dad taught me that forever. Don't drive old vehicles with two hands. You'll be everywhere. Just one hand and let it go. Yeah. Drive anything that way.
Correct a little bit here.
Yeah.
Even my wife and I's diesel, same thing.
It's a
99 F-250, worn out steering, everything. Just grab that thing down the road with a 26-foot trailer, kind of one animal wheel.
Yep.
Not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Everybody, Max here.
Yeah, I made Hannah drive my Jeep to go get lunch the other day.
Hi, buddy.
And that thing is all over the fucking place. She comes back, "All right, that thing's like a boat."
Well, he didn't really give me any forewarning. He just threw me the keys.
Yeah. Go take this to get lunch. Death trap.
What? You know sway bars?
It has the rocks, but you hit certain bumps and it just gets this weird oscillation.
Oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh Jesus, and bring
it
back.
She's just what was that? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I was trying to figure it out, and he's in the passenger seat and goes, "I almost killed myself in this the other day." I'm awesome.
Me and Jake were driving. This was before we tightened up the sway bars and tweaked it because it was really bad before. The crossover rates on the coilovers were set too high. So you get that soft spring to set. And all of a sudden, the thing just goes, whoo, and the whole back end kicks out. Other Jake was driving it, and he overcorrects it. And then we're sliding the other way. And it was raining, going around a corner at 45 miles an hour. Literally saw my life flash before my eyes.
And they got back. I'm like, "I told you it drives like shit. We got to fix this."
Yeah. Dude, be real though. You're the worst.
I'm terrible at passenger. Absolutely.
You could put him in a fully caged vehicle.
Yeah.
And he's still a bitch. Reaching for things.
Yeah.
My dad's like that. And I heard this joke one time. So we're driving, he came to visit, and we're driving around, and he's being the typical backseat driver, and he's this, and I go, "Dad, open up glove box." He opens up, I go, "You see a fucking steering wheel in there? Shut the fuck up." He's like, "That's the funniest thing I've ever heard." So anytime someone's doing that, just come on, like, "Hey man, can you open open the glove box?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, what are you looking for? Is there a fucking steering wheel in there?" No.
Shut up.
Shut the fuck up.
I love driving things, you know. There's nothing wrong with me driving. But
this is a control thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's usually a type A personality thing. That's how I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anybody?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone that enjoys being a passenger.
No, not when you're like
fine with it until you
unless you're anytime you're a car enthusiast and you love to drive, being a passenger sucks.
I like I went and did like this big track day at Laguna Seca, and I was hopping in all these cars. This is when I was younger. I don't know what it is. I just turned into a bitch. You know,
that's just a cold weather for me.
Like,
but
fully caged out Miatas going around there, like hauling ass 120, and you're just like holding on, like, wow, this is crazy. You just passed a guy, you know, like now I don't know. I don't
just, are you guys driven like a straight up Ultra 4 car, like hauling ass, or like
I haven't been in one yet. I haven't been.
That's
got
to be some wild. I've heard that in like trophy trucks and stuff like that, or something.
Dude, that's equivalent. Impressive. I've got a bomber, one of the older bombers, 4800 car.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll just go out in it and just hammer it, just to do like 80 on the desert, and the thing is just like all over the place, skipping all over. It'll make a grown man piss themselves. Yeah. It's so badass.
Somebody was telling us that there was a guy who was going to get into racing, and they went out and they were racing, or they got into the Ultra 4. And they were driving, and the co-driver was the veteran saying, no, what are you doing? You know, go faster. What are you doing? Go faster. And then he ended up going, okay, well, let's switch. And then he rode, and he was like, no.
Not for me.
Like, straight out, I'm done with this. There's no fucking way. Like, you guys are psychopaths.
Oh, I had a real
like
shit.
A guy that's like a real, like, maybe has raced cars before, you know?
And, oh, it's and completely different.
Yeah.
They get into a trophy truck. Like, maybe they were in Trans Am Series, right? Whatever, racing.
When you have traction?
Road courses. Yeah. And they get into a trophy truck, and they're just like, nope.
Oh, it's nuts. That's skill. Yeah. It was one day I had, like, this really shitty day at work.
Cleared out.
Oh, tacos. That fish taco was great. But I had this, like, shit day at work, and I'm like, I fired up the car and just, like, because I live, you know where I live? I can just dirt roads. Yeah. I just blast right from my driveway. Yeah. And I came back, I was in the best mood. My adrenaline was all pumped up. Yeah. That kind of calmed down. I was total dopamine. I was like, man, I mean, 80 miles an hour is not fast on the street. You put that in a four-wheel drive car, it's fucking even, completely even 60 different.
In the dirt, like in like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I took you for a ride in my Jeep.
That was super fun.
Pretty similar, close to spec Jeep speed.
Charity. Yeah. Yeah.
Fully caged, 5 points, bypasses on all four corners. Even him, like, it took me like, some coaxing to get him in it.
It's just weird to get used to, you know?
I got him in it.
Well, because you have to have so much trust in someone that's...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Every day I call you a douchebag and I throw wrenches at you. Now I'm going to trust you.
Not only that, but he's been drinking since noon.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's... We don't condone that.
Not at all.
Yeah. Dummy.
I'm sorry. He wasn't drinking since noon. It was iced tea. It's like 10:30.
Yeah.
When I got back is when we started drinking.
Yeah. That's
true. But just like him in a corner, he literally looks at me and goes, I'm not going to lie. I'm like really nervous right now.
But it's fun. Like, I told him I was having fun, but it was just like the way it pitched and like you hit a berm and the whole thing, like, you know, like I don't know when this thing's just going to go, nope, no more, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I've been driving that thing for, 10 years.
The latest one I did that.
I'm just super, super comfortable in it.
Tony took me on Terremoto at Thanksgiving. He invited me out. We went down there. Dude.
From Genrite?
Yeah. Terremoto with that Elite in it. Holy shit. To take a four-door, like, DOT vehicle and do what he does with that thing, fucking nuts.
I know.
He's like, you've never gone with me on that? I was like, no. He's like, well, mine will have a 600 horsepower, the whole, still similarly built. His is a straight race car. Man, he put that thing in a fucking 90-degree berm at, like, some god speed. I was like, oh, my. I mean, it planted it. No body roll, just, and he, right, the Elite, if you guys are familiar, no sway bars.
No.
That thing is not ran with sway bars.
They call them training wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, oh, you want.
Must have been Andrew. You talked to Andrew probably. Key.
He's like, you want training wheels?
He's like, funny, man. Yeah.
He's like, you guys don't want sway bars, do you? And I was like, we'll just leave that out. And he goes, good.
Yeah. Dude, he took me for a ride last Thanksgiving at the Hammers and that thing. Holy shit. He's like, all right. There's like this bar in his cage where you put your feet. My feet were on that damn bar.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pressed again.
Dude. Next year we go out there. I got to hook up with you. I need a ride in that because. I'm in super like bitch mode and I need to be like,
you just need to, I wish
just
I need
go
to
there.
Be driven around in something that works.
As just, dumb as this sounds, I wish you fit in the Samurai.
Dude, the Samurai, dude, check this out.
Fuck that.
We're a King of the Hammers, right?
Fuck that. Listen, that's a tuna can death trap.
Okay, listen to this. Okay, these fuckers are
racing.
Shut up. I'm telling a story now.
King of the Hammers car.
Okay. This guy, these
I've,
guys
I've
are
seen him on podiums, sure.
These guys are racing a samurai, right? They get to the point, they get all the way to Spooners. So they made it to the second lap. Okay, kudos, right? Well done, actually.
Mile an hour, the fastest samurai in the
fastest samurai right. on the course, okay, all these things, right? But this thing was broke, dude. The diffs had no fluid in them.
Yeah.
The engine was totally washed down. There was more fuel in the oil pan than there was in the tank. Okay. Radiator had come completely loose. They had lost four-wheel drive. Like, yeah. This thing was fucked. Okay. They pulled off the race course. Come on the radio. We're done, dude. We're done. So we find them off the race course.
Yeah.
Pull apart the orange fence, get them through. And we're like, okay, we're going to follow you back. Do you need to be towed? What's up? No, no, we can drive. Okay. Well, we'll follow you back to camp. We'll make sure you get back to camp. Right. Fucking couldn't keep up with them. Yeah. In a broken fucking samurai.
My friend, this that's youth. That's whoops. Youth. That's yeah. youth.
They were doubling but, whoops.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Like,
nope.
We rolled into Fuck. We rolled into main pit one with no oil in the rear diff, no oil in the motor.
Because a ring gear bolt came out and got lodged into the case and cracked it.
Not even a ring gear bolt came out. The head of it just popped off.
Awesome.
The threads, the rest of the bolt were still in it. Popped off, then went.
Yeah.
It caught the ring gear, went through the cover. Or not the cover, just the, it went through the housing.
It was just pissing out the bottom.
The housing, so not the cover.
You can see it like pissing on the tarp.
Because none of the gauges, besides the ones we wired in, really, before the race, really worked. And we're going down Turkey Call, and my driver goes, I didn't know the oil light worked in this thing. I was like, okay, so either we just rattled it loose and it works now, or we got a problem.
Yeah.
We roll into main pit. They're looking over the car. We hear, you know, diff oil's good. I'm like, cool, that's great. It's full now. Or it was full.
Yeah.
And they open the, we were like, check the motor oil. They open the hood, check the motor oil, nothing. Nothing, like at all. They put 4.5 quarts of oil in it. And then at this point, I'm just like, we're not done. We're still going. Keep
pushing. Now, at this point, pause. Because now I'm at remote pit two, and I hear them say, hey,
here's the status update.
Here's the status. They just left pit one. They had no oil in the engine. They had no oil in the diff. They had, we added over a gallon of oil to the engine. We added this. We don't know what's going to happen. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Okay. And I look on, we have the GPS tracker, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, they're doing 63 miles an hour. So I guess they don't give a shit. They left pit one and we're just doing six.
How sore were you at the end?
I was sore.
For sure. Jesus but, like, Christ.
We
Norco beer and Percocet and fuck.
We drank all week.
Yeah, Jesus.
And the car works really well, shockingly, for wheelbase and travel.
Tire size.
31-inch
tires. 31-inch tires. It cycles 8 inches of travel. No. It's got Fox 2.0s on all four corners and hydro bumps. But shockingly enough, that car works really well.
Thanks to Ian at Wheel Every Weekend for the shock tune. Thank you.
Tons of advice. Walked us through a lot. I mean, like, he couldn't catch it in an LJ on coilovers.
Couldn't catch it, dude. All right. You driving my LJ, you probably could have caught him. I was being a little bitch, but I couldn't catch him, dude. The whoops were too fucked up. But I'd watch him going through the whoops, and he was willing to get through that shitty part, and then all of a sudden he was like,
you have to get on top.
Right? He like, it's like a boat, I mean, dude.
You just need to get on top.
He got that fucker planed up, got the trim just right, and he was perfect, sailing. Right? And I'm hearing all the sodas in my cooler going, boom, boom, boom. Yeah. Like, fuck this, man.
You're in the frame rail screen.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not trying to keep up with the stupid samurai right now. I mean, I got back to camp 15 minutes before me. It was bullshit.
Good for you, but hell to the no. Yeah. No.
I mean, it's not, so like I explained in the rocks, it's like a consistent car crash.
Yeah.
So it just feels like you're consistently just getting ran into from every direction.
Well, because you are.
And we went,
because you are.
You get used to that?
Yeah.
Ran into everybody.
Yeah. We did. Here we go. a few weeks ago, he took me, when we got my Jeep finally fixed with some other issues, we took it out to Clawhammer. So they took me to Clawhammer. And, I tried to get through this part. And I had to back up a little bit. And then Nick goes through in the Samurai, and he high centers on this boulder that's, you know, the size of a fucking Volkswagen. And it's just like falling off of it. And he's like, this is the line I'm going to go. And he's like, falls off. And then it just, all of a sudden it gets traction. And it just shoots him this way. And he just goes with it. And he just basically lets the Samurai pick its own line all the way up the
like
hill.
Like a pinball machine.
He did. Pretty dude, much. It was totally
really funny because him and I, both of us know the car really well. We know how it wheels. Both of us can talk to each other all day long and know where the car goes. Dave goes to take the line that we were going to take. Before we do,
yeah,
can't make it.
Moves boulders all over the place, and he goes, "Well, I
mean, that was the line I was going to take.
When's the last time you guys been up or down Claw or Turkey Claw or any of that?
He just did it a couple weeks ago.
So we just went up.
Right after Hammer.
We just went up Claw Hammer 2.
Is it not a completely different trail right
now? Turkey Claw's changed.
Holy shit.
Since New Year's.
Because of the amount of rain they've had, the amount of races.
Yeah.
Dude, that's not like a little tuner trail anymore. That is a legit, got some holes. It's nuts. I took the Gladiator up at Thanksgiving. And granted, my Gladiator's like my backup wheeler.
Yeah.
After I was like, I got to do tons or quit wheeling this thing. Brought that thing down. Fucking resolution.
You got to get the Moodle chop on the back.
Yeah. It's not going to be my wheeler I beat the hell out of. That's the thing. I'm like, I need to get my JK done because I'm beating the shit. But that trail has changed completely now.
Yeah, even like
it's nuts.
I've been going out there every big holiday. So
yeah.
The only trip we didn't take was Thanksgiving, but we were there Thanksgiving. We were there Halloween weekend. We were there New Year's.
Hammers.
We were there all for 10 days at Hammers.
Yeah.
Turkey Claw is completely different.
Oh, it's, make it to Turkey Claw.
It's almost like the new Chocolate Thunder. Just a fucking shit show.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It's getting it, but it changes, and which is cool for me because we run that. We generally camp like right next to that trail, so it's cool that it isn't the same trail every time we hit it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's changed quite a bit. Chocolate Thunder's consistently changing too because that gets so tore up.
Oh, you want to see the worst people in the sport there on a Saturday night?
Clawhammer.
Yeah.
I think Clawhammer is a great trail. Like whether you're a decently experienced wheeler and you're ready to like try a trail out there, I think it's the perfect trail.
Yeah.
Clawhammer was a pretty good trail.
I say probably like,
because Turkey Claw's
Bullfrog or Spooners or something is pretty.
Spooners is
probably a good. I guess it depends on the lines.
Spooners is tough.
Yeah.
If you take like the little fire road that drops you into it.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of what I'm talking
about. Before the shit part.
Yeah.
I'll take my CJ out there when I get it done.
But Spooners, like if you run every ounce of Spooners through the center of the valley and up, there's some parts in the beginning.
That's like HDR out there, Pumpkin Eater. That's the same thing. That got tore up. If you run that from start to finish all the way, like from the bottom all the way up, that's changed dramatically too. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You take the hard lines.
Yeah.
There's been so many people that go in it and, you know, throttle and throw rocks and dig holes and then all the rain we've got.
It's
changed a lot of these trails dramatically from 10 years ago going out there.
Those guys that came down Clawhammer when we were growing up, they saw the Samurai and they go, have you guys done this trail before?
What do you mean you look at it? It's like the Samurai on 31s, me behind it.
That's nuts, dude. That'd be impressive.
Yeah.
With a rooftop tent on it. And then like all of you guys behind it.
Cherry LJ with 37s. They passed him and they tell the Samurai, do you guys know what you're in for? Because a whole set of buggies coming down. And they're like,
they look at this guy cussing like, and just be like, this guy.
They look at the Samurai 31. Yeah. Like, have you guys done this before? And then they get to me, we're in this beautiful LJ. And they're like, that's too pretty to be on this trail. You're going to fuck that shit up. And I'm like, I know. That's what I told them. I don't want to be here. Like, I literally don't want to be here.
Not one time did he say, I do not want
to
be here.
No, I wanted to be there. It
was pretty rad. I said, we'll go run a trail that I think would be great for everybody to try.
Yeah.
And they all followed us.
So. Yeah, it was rad, dude. I had one little issue with my. We just had converted to coilovers, and one of my coilovers apparently when I'm like full like droop on one side and then full turning, the caliper touches the coil.
Yeah.
And I lose my brakes. So I'm like, it pushes on the caliper.
Oh, no shit.
So I'm like all the way in this weird position and I'm turning and all of a sudden my pedal just goes thump right to the floor. And I'm like, this doesn't feel right, guys. This is bullshit.
We need to move some stuff.
So we just have to move where my calipers mount on the axle just a tiny bit, and I'll be fine. It's like bare, the coilovers a little bit.
We're just going
to move. And it'll be fine, right? So just some micro changes, and it'll be fine. But I'm really excited to build this freaking CJ6 because, I don't know, and Curtis knows this. He gives me shit about it all the time. I'm kind of a bitch because of my LJ because my LJ is so rad. I'm like, I really don't want to like fucking smash the side of it in. I don't want to, but if I build a CJ6...
Well, I mean, you don't really have to. I mean, you can build it with aluminum, and where you do smash it in, you really don't smash it in.
I run my sliders.
The one thing you've never realized, though, is I do have a very cherry Jeep that I never wheel.
That's true.
You never get back at me for it. Like,
that's
ever.
True.
There's so many things you can do, though. You have stock axles in yours?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you were to put, like, 70-inch or on an LJ, say, 68, 67-inch... one tons in it on 40s, and I mean you'd never get to the body.
Yeah,
but that's then it would lose that streetable look. I don't know. I like the low squatty.
I like the look of mine. I like that it looks really good on the street. You know,
then maybe that's like your Rubicon wheeler, and then you need to build something that you can go beat the living shit.
I think that's what it is. That'll be my Rubicon wheeler, Big Bear Rubicon, whatever trail rig, and then I'll have my CJ6, which will be my V8 powered
go beat the shit out of. You got two other bodies to.
Yeah, I got three bodies to fuck up. So.
Yeah, a bunch of bodies. You're like, fuck it. You going to do the quarter panel? No, we're swapping the whole tub.
Yeah, that's why I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on the body. I'm going to leave it all displayed.
Well, that and it looks rad. You guys familiar with that one? It was at Moab as part of the magazine crew. This guy's got a CJ6 that's chopped. That's got Ultimate 60s in that. I think he's got the Cummins 2.8 in it.
Yeah, he's the local guy from around here, right?
Christensen or?
He hangs out at Johnny Woods.
Dude, that
it's
thing.
A, it's got a patinaed, like, yes, light, blue. Baby blue patina.
That thing is so badass.
Yeah, that thing is
that
sick.
That is rad.
He was at Johnny Woods shop for Johnny Woods open house. And that thing was.
I think that's Christensen or something like that.
Yeah, Christensen. I think you're right.
That thing is
so rad. So I'm not on my CJ6. I'm just going to end up doing Dana 44s. Like, I'm going to have that.
Well, it'll be a lot lighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just going to go a light wheeler. It's going to have 37s. It's just going to be a.
If you're on 40s in one time, none of us can wheel with you.
Yeah, I mean, we can, but
that's not fun.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like all my friends, none of my friends have 40s. None of my friends that I wheel with have one tons.
Got to get new friends.
I'm thinking about it because to be honest with you, my friends are kind of fuckheads.
You know what I mean?
All right. Oh, who let that little midget asshole in?
Yeah. Time for new friends. Yeah. Thought we know we're hanging out.
Yeah. 37.
Yeah. The funny thing is, though, the only person out of all of us that would be like challenge accepted would be Nick and the Samurai.
Yeah.
That's
100%.
True.
100%. Yeah, but
the tires would like touch each other if they're 40s.
Yeah, no, he would do it on 31s. He would just chase you guys. Like,
yeah. If I was on 40s and 110s, Nick would be right behind me in 31s going,
just
let's do
killing
it.
Killing it.
Yeah, making me look like a total fool.
He'd probably pass you. Like,
he would pass me. I don't know what it is with Nick. He's got like the touch, right? I don't know, when he's off-roading.
It's a little finesse, you know?
It's a finesse and just the... He just looks at the top of the hill and just keeps... You know, going like this.
Well, it's also knowing your vehicle. There. Like, there's the biggest thing I could tell people, awareness. Like, on trails, you see the people, they get to the obstacle, then they stop, and then they try, and then they're digging and moving and moving. I'm like, momentum is your friend. I think there's two things that you could do. Four-wheeling is the two biggest tips I'll tell anybody. Momentum and learn your vehicle's throttle response, especially new fuel injection motors. Some have, like, a 2 second, some have a half. Learn throttle response. If you can figure out your throttle response... And then just how nimble or not it is, momentum and throttle response. You learn that, and you can do so many things.
Yeah.
Those things are just, I think they sink down every now and then.
Do they?
Yeah, it's really weird. Like,
Jake's real good at hanging his dips up.
The dips, like, just go down every now and then. And then they hang up.
Before wheeling with Jake, I was the guy that got diffed up all the time. So it makes me really happy when I get to pass him.
We were on the one bar climber, and I'm like, not paying attention. Stacy's asked me a question. All of a sudden, I just get stuck. And then Curtis passed me right next to me. He goes, "You chose the wrong line, idiot." And he just keeps going.
Yeah.
It made me feel really good.
Yeah.
I did the same thing and bent my tie rod really bad. So, whatever.
I got those Falcons, too. So, like, they have those big skids that come off the back of them. Have you seen
Falcon
those things?
Shocks.
He said it wrong.
Falcons.
Those giant skids that come off the back of the shock that probably hang off like 8 inches.
Because they're like upside down. The resis are on the bottom down by the
Yeah, they're like piggyback reservoirs.
Awful idea.
It's awful.
Stupid.
Yeah.
It's pretty
But the
awful.
People run those because they look cool, I assume.
Yeah. They have big red adjusters on them.
Decent price point, too. You know, like you
on those, I thought they were pretty high.
I mean, when you're
relatively speaking,
you know, I think it's like that. You either go Fox 2.0s with like no reservoirs or anything, just very basic, or it's like, oh, I can get these for like, you know, a few hundred bucks more, and they look cool. They're adjustable.
Those Kings, I have those on the
glass. I'm going with Monroe's.
Dude, those things are sick, huh?
Yeah, even like the Fox 2.0s, they're awesome.
They are so rad.
The 3.0 internal bypass Foxes. Jesus Christ, those
like there's, I won't let anybody drive my glider the way I have it set up, and the side winds we have in the Antelope Valley, the shithole I live in. Like my, it gets squirrely, but I love the way it rides. I hate the rear, as soft as you can get it, and the front, I stiffen up just a little bit because that's where the weight's at.
Yeah.
Particular vehicle. And I don't even have a sway bar. I went out to Thanksgiving and I knocked one of the sway bar links off the rear. The Shocker, bolt came off. Well, the bolt just worked its way off and I heard something, so I took
it
off. And I've been running with no rear sway bar, and to me, it feels the same. And I have rock crawlers, where they take the upper links and they put them on the truss in the middle and you run no track bar. I run that.
The Gladiator?
Whoa, yeah.
That's interesting.
No way.
Dude, and no sway bar, I run it. And it's
what?
Just great. Yeah.
So I'm super down with deleting the rear sway bars on any Jeep out there. Like 100%, I tell everybody, just get rid of your sway bar immediately. It's fucking useless.
Yeah, keep it in the front where your steering's at if you have to. Yeah, but the rear.
Yeah, but then what are you doing with the track bar?
So the the track bar. So if you look up, Rock Crawler's got this kit where you take the upper arms and you put a like a little mini truss on the top of the rear axle, and the upper arms come in. They come in.
So it triangulates it.
Triangulate. So you remove your track bar. Well, I have no track bar, and then I haven't been running a sway bar, and it runs
still
great.
Relatively stable.
Oh, I did. I drove that to SEMA from my place, and I downloaded a because I haven't geared it. I downloaded a GPS thing. I did 93 to Vegas.
Damn.
Gladiator. 93 miles an hour. 9.4 miles a gallon.
Wow. That's
awesome. Yeah. I 90 miles an hour on that thing.
Is it long arm at all or no?
Stock arms. I mean, really? Not stock arm, but stock length arms with the rock crawlers. Sure, yeah.
Even the lower.
Rock crawlers kit. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because those things get really weird when you droop them out far.
See Kevin.
The axle.
Bye, Kevin.
Bye, Kevin.
Okay.
Kevin's leaving.
See you, Kevin.
Everybody just stop what you're doing. Say goodbye to Kevin. See you later, buddy.
Later, dude.
All right. So now that he's gone, we can start talking real about stuff.
Kevin sucked.
Yeah. Oh, the door was locked?
He's still here.
See, he still heard that?
Yeah, we had a guy that had some, like, pretty long shocks on his, and it seemed like the second it got down, like, his sway bar links were obviously holding it up further because they were, like, fully straight.
Well, what happens on those is the way it happens is when that sway bar kind of comes around the diff, mm-hmm. when you stretch it up, the bar actually comes
it
up
bottoms
and hits
out on it,
on the diff cover, and it'll hit like that. Yeah. So they actually sell spacing to get more on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably rather my sway bar limit... If you don't have limit straps, I'd rather mm-hmm. my sway bar limit it than my shocks.
Oh, yeah.
Shocks are a hell of a lot more expensive and than a sway bar link or whatever.
Right.
So I'm surprised more kits don't come with limit straps, to be honest with you.
It's
just an added
expense
that nobody really uses.
I don't think any of those guys ever consider it because none of them really go fast.
That's true. In the rocks, you don't as much, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably a good question. I mean, I look at mine and I'm like, ooh, brake lines. You know, before they came out with a kit for the Gladiator, I'm like, so I kind of cheated some bends and cheated here and there, and little by little, and got. But yeah, I think it is my brake line's ABS line that actually is what gets taught before any shit that I need. Yeah, that's my limit strap room right now. But that's one of those things I go, I'm like, the Gladiator's not for that. I can take it to the Rubicon, and then here I am coming down resolution and the Gladiator in 35s.
I told myself.
Or no, 37, sorry, yeah. But I mean, you air them down, and all of a sudden, so that long ass wheelbase.
Yeah.
You look under the frame of that Gladiator, every bracket is smashed and stocked.
Do you have any
stuff.
Skids on it or no?
Nope.
Dude, we get a lot.
I have Genrites. I have their side steps that are 250 wall side steps.
Wow.
Those bitches are heavy.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I could not put those on by myself. And it's like 16 holes you have to drill and tap. And the JL and the Gladiator frame suck balls. And we just talked about that compared to the JK. So I actually stitched all the pads on because I could not trust the bolt and itty bitty steel. So I stitched them all. And I have like literally just bam, slammed
landed
it.
On
people
it.
Are like, what is that? I'm like, that's why it's I need fine. To get my JK finished. Beat the fuck out of my Gladiator. Yeah.
We had a guy that did the Rubicon with us in a Gladiator. Mm-hmm. And he took it to a body shop to get something else fixed. And they go, your frame.
He went through Little Sluice or whatever it is, right? And he pounded in both rear doors on his Gladiator.
Oh, shit.
Like, he wouldn't listen to his spotters, and
those guys.
He would just smash. Yeah. So he smashed one door, and then the spotter went, all right, fuck it, you're on your own, walked away. And then he smashed his other rear door. So both rear doors are smashed in, right? So he's got to get it fixed at the body shop. Well, then the body shop.
Yeah, they're like, you need a whole new frame. Like, this thing's wrecked on
you. Yeah, your frame is scratched. You know? It's all fucked up. You need new control arms.
They were trying to build for like $30,000 worth of work to like swap the frame out with like an OEM frame.
He called us.
Like,
he goes,
dude, don't do it.
Like, there are so many shit bags in the automotive market in Southern California. There are so many shoddy assholes.
I'm like, you don't need to change your frame, bro. Oh, don't do that.
That's what
have them fix
what happens when you, like, hey, asshole, I came in for the doors, not for you to
complain
to the company.
Yeah, they were trying to make a quick buck or a few of them.
Yeah,
a couple of quick buck.
And I think he knew. He realized what was going on, but he was like, so should I do it? Like, I get a new frame. Like, should I
they're not.
No, dude. I'm like, it'll never be the same.
Yeah,
you want somebody to tear apart? Yeah.
That thing's going to creak and rattle.
If you think somebody is that shoddy trying to scam me, you think that same guy that has those same ethics is actually going to pull your frame out and put another one in and do good
everything
job. If they're a shit person, every bit of him is a shit person. So yeah. Wait till you get that box of shit back and see how that drives down
that
the road.
That thing's salvage title at that point, dude.
Yeah, he's going to have a big bag of bolts. Hey, this frame didn't require these bolts. You're going to have a fucking, fucking bucket of bolts. I did you a favor. You're like that asshole.
Big Home Depot bucket.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a few of them in there. Not too many, though.
Yeah, this frame didn't require that.
He had him fix the doors.
Yeah, those aluminum doors.
Yeah.
I mean, how did he probably had to put new door shells. You can't fix them. Yeah.
And it was a quarter, like the quarter after the door too.
Those are so thin.
Yeah.
I mean, they are way thin.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just wrinkled those.
Oh, you can go out to him and just push it. I guarantee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shitty.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do, I think we're going to do Rubicon again, this next 2024.
Yeah.
We're supposed to do the Rubicon again. So I'm going to bring my CJ to that, which would be fun.
I'm going to hear something pathetic. Yeah. I've been in California. I got stationed here in 2003. Always had a Jeep, multiple Jeeps, because what I do. Never been to Rubicon.
Well, I'm going to be
sorry
honest with
ass has never done the Rubicon. No shit.
You're coming with us.
Yeah.
You're coming with us, but I'm also going to say at the same time, you're not really missing anything.
Yes, you are.
I don't go just for the wheel. Like I do. I used to go to the Big Bear Forest Fest every year just because it's nice scenery.
Yeah.
The mountain, just every, I mean, it sucks because it's so fucking dusty, but other than that, like it's just a nice place to get the hell out of the city, get out of a shithole. What if I anyone like knows Antelope Valley, Lancaster, Palmdale, is a shithole. Ultimate shithole, but job pays well.
What I like about it is that it's super pretty out there, right?
It
it's
is.
The forest. It's
you
unique.
You go jump in a lake when you get done with the trail. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. So nice.
Like every place we camp, there's a river or a lake.
Yeah.
We camped on some private property. Some people up there we were wheeling with knew the guy. We camped at Spider Lake the first night, and we loved it so much. We spent the whole next day at Spider Lake swimming.
Just
we didn't
chilling,
even wheel.
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
We just hung out, floated around in the lake, and then we finally, the next day, went wheeling again. And to me, that was what was cool about it, right?
Yeah.
It was not, the wheeling was super fun, right? But the
there's more to it than just the wheeling.
At night or hanging out and going in the river. Yeah. Like that was cool.
And you hear people like race it. I finished Rubicon this. I'm like, why? Why'd you even? You wasted the drive. Enjoy it. You missed the whole point of going. I mean, if that's what floats are about, great. Yeah. But
spend 4 or 5 days on it.
Yeah. I need to do this.
We even did.
I really do.
We'll call you. We're going to
that same day that everybody was at the lake. We were idiots. It was a heat wave. So it was like 105 that day.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, let's go run more of the trail and come back. You know? So that's what we did. We ended up running more of the trail, came back. And it was like, yeah, cool. Like you could almost like day trip it. You know? Yeah.
No heat in the motors got hot. That thin air.
We had one that had oil issues, but it was, you know.
We figured it out. But then, so that was right when, I don't know, when they had the big fires up there and they closed the Rubicon down.
Dixie fires.
We were coming off the trail the day before they like closed it down and said, hey, everybody out of here, we're closing it.
Oh, I remember that. I had someone else. Yeah. Was it you or there was somebody I talked to that said they got rushed out of there. Like they were doing the trail.
We didn't have to get rushed out.
Nobody
didn't
get rushed out. We came off and then the next day they were like telling people, hey, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Well, I think because all this rain and snow, I think Big Bear's, all the trails in Big Bear, I think got shut down till like June.
June 1st.
Yeah,
June
that's 1st, nuts. Like, damn.
Yeah, I heard from some guys that the way they do that is that once the snow melts enough that they can go out there, the forest surface has to go out and
kind
go
of
on the
survey
trails,
and make sure no one's going to fall off the side of a mountain. Because I guarantee you, this much snowfall and water runoff, like Holcomb Creek.
Yeah.
Or Holcomb, like on that side where you go right before you get down to where the little, at the end, where the bridge is.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That whole place, I guarantee you that'll be just.
Rushed. Yeah, they've got to make
it'll
sure
be
that's
run
all
right
safe
off into the. Yeah, they got to probably build roads up there before they'll let a lot of that stuff.
And then they'll open it up. It's a big fine, too, if you get caught up there. It's like 10 grand.
Oh, yeah. It's federal. Yeah, I believe. Federal. Is it federal or is it state?
I think it's 5 grand if you're an individual. If you're like a club, it's $10,000.
That's a pretty rough fine.
Really?
So, yeah, stay
it's
away from
that
there if you
heavy?
Guys are going
up
there.
Yeah.
You buy a whole another Jeep from Tommy for that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got some LJs too, by the way.
Yeah, Tommy's got some shit, guys. Go on. What is it on Facebook? Facebook?
Oh, we did that. So on Facebook, it's Sergeant Jeep, SGTJEEP.ca. And Instagram is just Sergeant Jeep. Or you just go to Google and put Sergeant Jeep in there. And
it'll
pop you up. Yeah. For sure. Call him. Don't hesitate to call him because he's got some shit.
And here's
that's
the thing.
Getting.
Here's a myth. Salvage title vehicles. People are like, oh, I no salvage title. I'm like, why not? They salvage title, and I guess you guys know what labor rates. I don't know, like labor rates are anywhere from $100 to $200 in some places.
We're 160 an hour here.
That's not bad. I'm 125.
Yeah,
and I'm not. I mean, you guys are probably better at some of the stuff than I am. But
we just got a lot of overhead.
Yeah. Well, that's I go out to my shop is like 10 steps, and so my overhead's really low, really low. But don't be afraid to get a salvage title vehicle. As long as you know, I usually if I sell salvage title and I fix something or do something, I always include the pictures before it gets fixed.
Yeah.
That's how you know. Or here's the biggest thing. Oh, it was a theft recovery. Oh, bullshit. That's what everyone will say. Oh, theft recovery, theft recovery. So if I buy a salvage title vehicle, I'm like, hey, what are the pictures? Do you have the before? I'm not afraid of it, but there's certain things I want to look at. But when I go look at it, I also want to look at this if it was fixed right or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
But what I do is I don't fix them. I sell them right back out. And it works both ways. You all guys, you don't need to pay me to do the work. You don't need to pay for a more expensive vehicle because you can do that work.
Yeah.
So why are you going to pay someone else to do it? It's something you guys can fix. Salvage title, frame's good, whatnot. Where it works for me on a business sense is I'm going to sell you a salvage title vehicle. I know it's good. I'm going to vouch for it, all that stuff. Where are you going to come to buy the repair parts?
To you. Right.
Come right back to me. So on a business sense, that works very well.
Yeah.
For one,
I pull from your inventory when you can sell it and then sell it again.
Yeah. I'm going to sell you the vehicle and then I'm going to sell you the parts for it. But I mean, I'm also going to tell you exactly, I already know how it's wrecked. I'm going to tell you exactly what.
You had your eyes on it already.
Oh yeah. There's LJs I've sold and shipped out and every repair part right in the back of it. So mm-hmm. I've sold. I mean, one year I bought 17 LJs.
Wow.
Because there's now, I got capital to buy 17 LJs.
That's why I don't want to wreck my LJ.
Just drive better.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I've been buying wrong. Literally like every LJ I can, and then I've been buying Rubicon.
Yeah.
Do you guys see that Rubicon, that orange one I just got?
I think so, yeah.
That thing is fucking smashed.
Yeah.
Bad. 66,000 miles on.
Wow.
Like the axles are bent to hell.
Yeah, ain't coming.
But the reason I gambled on it is I didn't know if the transfer case was going to be good because the rear axle, usually if any driver drop, YJ, TJ, all that, if they get hit on the driver's side, and this is for anyone listening that goes and looks at vehicles, if they get hit on the driver's axle, on the driver's side axle, it collapses the drive shaft and usually goes right through the transfer case every time. So if I know I get
those
a vehicle.
Cases aren't bulletproof either. They'll crack.
They are super thin.
Yeah.
But on a good thing is it does take out the transfer case and then it saves the frame, saves the training. Mm. So some people like, there's certain things like good. So 231,
that's
the sacrificial 231, part. I sell those things for like $400. So if you think front axle, drive shaft, a couple control arms if they're stock, and a 231, you're well less than $1,000 and you're back on the road. Like right. I just brought in a YJ, 60,000 original miles, fully loaded, 95. It had the dual brake booster, only 60,000. It got hit. The wheel dented the frame a little bit, but it was because the wheel hit it.
Yeah.
Took out the transfer case, the front springs, and steering. I threw another knuckle on it. I threw a spring on it. U-bolts, transfer case, drove perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And they salvaged it out. Why? Because there was a dimple on the frame.
Yeah.
So sometimes when stuff gets salvaged, it's either A, because of where it got hit. Any CJ, YJ, TJ, and I don't know JK's quite that well yet. If it gets hit anywhere on the A-pillar to where the Jeep is, and that's mm-hmm. major structure. So if there's a dent on that, salvage it out because it's the integrity of the vehicle.
Yeah.
And then that's a lawyer's decision a lot of time. The insurance like, nope, we're not even, because if something were to happen, the lawyer says this. So, so you can get it by damage, by liability, or just labor rate. So sometimes that's, I've had, and then another thing on the YJs, TJs, and CJs, if you look where the door corners are, you ever seen where they dimple a little bit right there?
Yeah.
You cannot get that out. You get any vehicle in an accident, it has a small dimple right there, immediate salvage.
Yeah.
The doors will still close, gaps will be good, but that little dimple, you cannot get out. You can't body work it, you can't anything. That'll salvage a vehicle.
Wow.
So when you hear salvage vehicles, don't turn your head. You can get a smoking deal there. Yeah. I mean, you really can.
Because like the definition of a salvage, to my knowledge, is 75% of what the vehicle's worth in repairs, right?
Each insurance company has their own like percentage of what it is.
Yeah.
And then some of it could only be whatever, but if it's hit in a certain area, it doesn't matter. Like that's the integrity of the vehicle is done. So that's, but you can take a set of rocks, like rock sliders, take a 4x4, beat the shit out of the rear quarter or the quarter panel back up, put some rock sliders there. You're good. You're good. Huh. And you'll be fine. I sell salvage title vehicles all the time.
Yeah.
And to get them in California, I know, to get them back on the road, they just got, it's like $150 for the guy takes off your brakes, check your brakes, takes it for a drive, make sure all the lights work. It's such a, that is probably the biggest myth now that you mentioned that. Yeah.
Wow.
Is that salvage tires are so difficult. If they're out of state, they're going to need a smog and a brake and light check. And it's super easy. Yeah.
Wow.
So you know what LJs are going for right now? I mean, they're going for big money. So if you can get one that's wiped out a little bit here and there and get it for, 60% of the market rate of them. Why not? Because half the shit that's damaged or whatever, you're gonna
replaceable or
Well, you're going to replace it any damn way.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if it's got a big dent in the rock in the rocker, you're going to put a rock slider on that. That's going to cover that up. So that's a deal.
Yeah.
If you're going to put quarter panels on it or something like that, and it gets hit in the quarter panel, beat it out as best you can. You're going to put a rock. Yeah. That's hidden.
Throw some riv nuts in it.
Yeah. The transfer case, you may change that out. I mean, the rear front axle, it's a Dana 30. You're going to change that out, or you're going to do something, or they're easily attainable and cheap. There's so many.
That's the difference, right? Between a Jeep, which has got a frame and a body and solid axles. Mm-hmm. It's very basic. It's very repairable.
Like a Lego set. That's what I describe Jeeps as.
Yeah, versus
Legos.
Like that Mustang out there that's a unibody that hit a center divide at full speed. Yeah. You know, the unibody's fucked, right? Yeah, it takes a lot of craftsmanship to get something like that back on the road.
Yeah.
And one, we're going to get back on the road for me personally to use, so there's no legality behind it. But a body shop legally can't touch it because the crumple zone's gone. All that stuff that was built into it from the manufacturer is gone.
Well, right? You get a society Jeep, that's not gone. Well, you get a society that's so sue crazy. They'll sue you over anything. So are you really going to take that vehicle in and make a couple $1,000 versus... The asshole might say cry and then come sue you for your entire wealth.
Yeah.
And, No. So
not worth it.
Not worth it. Yeah.
Totally.
Totally. So Jeeps. I mean, there's a lot of places. I mean, when Fred Williams from Dirt Every Day came out, we did an episode at my shop and then we did like 13 Dirt Every Day extras. And I was like, dude, I've been telling like people in the industry, like come out. And I told Tony from Generate do some tech talks. Like I can show you, I've bought and traded, sold whatever, over 1,000 Jeeps by now. I've bought so many. Yeah. I've seen everything once or twice, three times. I can tell you, like, if you're going to buy a vehicle, depending on the model, look here, here, and here, and here. And I actually offer, like, people come to me, like, well, will you help me buy? I'm like, what do you want me to help with? And I'll get you a price of what my help will cost. Either I can evaluate photos, I can talk to the person, I can go down there and look at it. What do you have to spend? And I'm like, well, I don't want to spend,
CPI, you know?
Well, I don't want to spend, like, $400 to have you do this, buy a fucked up vehicle and tell me how much that's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be way more.
You're going to wish like hell, you, whether it's me or someone else, you hired a specialist to go through that thing and save you some money.
Yeah.
I've had a guy that brought me a CJ and he's like, I think I got an okay deal on this, but let me know. I went under it. The frame was dimpled and crumpled in four different spots. It was an automatic. The idle was turned up to like 1300 RPM because that's the only way it could run. Yeah. Air cleaner was full of oil. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? I was like, he goes, how much would you charge? I'm like, I'm not. I was like, the only thing good on this thing is a couple components. Like,
yeah.
I was like, go get your money back. He's like, oh, well, the guy offered him. You can tell the guy was scamming. He's like, he told me he'd keep $500. Take it. Take it and run. Call that a lesson learned. Like, get your money back. If it costs you, chalk that one up to a lesson and just, if that guy's going to give you any money back, take it. Get rid of this vehicle.
Yeah.
So then he came and bought a Magnum Swap YJ from me. He was perfectly happy.
Yeah,
and he was like into it maybe $3,000 more. But look what he had a VA, he had Dana 44s, all this other stuff.
Yeah, so stoked.
Dude.
We had that guy that had the that fiberglass body CJ. Same thing. Came in, just wanted an inspection on the front end, you know?
Yep.
Dude, the slop in the steering shaft was like a quarter inch.
I think it was wasted.
It was so bad.
And I'm sure you guys have similar to this one. When I have somebody come in and I do work, because I'm very choosy on what work I do.
Yeah.
And I can tell you why.
As you should be.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, exactly. Good point. But I have a rule. Like, if you bring me your stuff and I see a safety issue, like, I have an aeronautics degree, and part of it is I have a major in safety and aviation safety and big safety work. So I look at things in a real aviation safety light. Aspect.
Yeah.
And I tell guys, like, if you bring something in and I see a safety, like, I think is a safety hazard, like, you're going to pay me to fix it. Flat. And say, you're going to pay me to fix it. Mm-hmm. Or you're not driving it out of here. The only way it will leave my property is if it's on the back of a tow truck. That's the only way. And most people, like, you think some people get shitty, but like, oh, wow, really? I'm like, yeah, because I care about you and your family.
Oh, you are here.
I care about, and people are like, well, I'm not driving it far. Well,
it doesn't matter.
It's you. If you don't give a shit about yourself, think about the guy that's in oncoming traffic, the guy that's in the lane next to you. Yeah. Don't be a selfish asshole.
Yeah.
Fix it, do it right, and then be done with it.
We need to institute that policy here.
So were you talking shit about
him? No, I just thought you were there. And then all of a sudden you were there, like you weren't there. I looked and then you weren't there, but then you were there.
Yeah, no. Because there's some sketchy people that drive around, dude. Like tie rod ends that are about to blow off. You know,
I do anything. Wheel
bearings that are like grenaded.
Yeah. I have people come to my shop. I'll pop their hood. Motor mounts bad. That fast, I might have done it. Yeah. Motor mounts bad. Steering bad. Like, I don't mean to pick your Jeep apart, but.
Yeah.
I've kind of been doing it a while.
Yeah.
But we were literally just having this conversation about like how to put your foot down if you're not comfortable doing something, or if like, you know, like this is an industry where you have other people's safety quite literally in your hands. And if it's not going to be done up to your standard, then like, we can't.
Yeah.
Do it, don't waste your time.
The problem too is like, you know, we have this shop here and the, I don't want to say the industry, but in general, people I think feel like they should be able to haggle with me, right? Like we need to be able to haggle.
TV shows for that. Yeah. I get the same thing. We'll get on that. Yeah,
we call it the Richard Rollins syndrome, right? Yeah. Like
we'll get on that soapbox momentarily.
Yeah, and it's like no, like when you go to the grocery store and you buy a gallon of milk, you don't sit there to register and haggle with the person.
You know, you
pay what it is, and we give you a certain amount of quality and craftsmanship that we're guaranteeing our work.
Yeah.
Yep. So I'm sorry it costs what it costs, but you know you're going to leave here with the best possible product. And not only that, if there's an issue with it, you can call me.
Don't call another shop. You need to call me because I need to make sure it's right, whatever it is, or at least inspect it.
Yeah, don't take it somewhere else. Please bring it back to me because I'm going to make it right.
Yeah.
And we've always made it right for people.
Yeah, yeah.
The few times it's happened, because guess what? We're humans. Sometimes
100%.
Sometimes it's human. Sometimes it's just a shit part, right? I mean,
For sure.
Like a bearing just fucking explodes for no reason. I don't know why it exploded.
Yeah.
We didn't install it wrong. Bring it back. We're going to fix it for you. No questions asked, right?
Yeah.
But people feel like they need to haggle, and I don't know how to get past this. Like, you don't need to haggle with me. This is not a garage sale.
I try my best not to be a prick, but sometimes I've literally been a prick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll have guys come out and You can tell they have those LA half shit dealerships and they're trying to get the cheapest part, but you know that they're going to sell it for the most or whatever. Yeah. Do it. And I've had them, come give me a better deal, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And then I'm like, I was giving them like, okay, I'll knock $5 off here as I'm getting the parts. And then they asked, and then I was walking next to my shop and I literally stopped in my tracks. I turned back. I was like, guys, fucking knock it off. And I just took my customer and they're like, I was like, knock it off. And I said my competitor, which most people know where they're at down in the valley. And I'm like, call them. No. Well, then good. I like, knock it off. I said, you can come go right back out the gate you came into. Like, I don't mind someone asking me, you know, trying to negotiate the price once. The minute I say no, it's no. I may or I may not. But don't pass that point. It becomes disrespectful.
Yeah.
And for me, this, I mean, up until here soon, I have like my, if I don't sell a Jeep part, my mortgage gets paid. I don't need you to treat me like shit, disrespect me to like take your money and take it somewhere else. But I don't need that shit. But yeah, people watch these shows and they want to come play the game. I'm like,
I don't think I've ever haggled with you. I think every time you told me a number, I just paid it.
And I appreciate that. But if you were to haggle with me, no big deal. Some things I can bend on. Some things, if I have 50 of them over there and I sell 10 a year, I'm going to want to get them out or I'm going to scrap them. But there's some things like top and doors will not haggle. Yeah. Why? I don't need to. They're going to sell. If it doesn't sell to you, great. It will sell. Yeah. And I don't care. Well, I just got one for this price. I can't compete with the guy that needs to make room in his garage. That's why it was that price.
I'm just afraid of Tommy. I don't want
to. Yeah. Oh, come on. Get out of here.
I think he bench presses like
you.
Axles.
Can we actually see that happen?
Fucking guy is yoked. He's like out there in his yard. I went out to his house. He was in the yard benching Dana 44.
No.
What do you want, David? Whatever you have, dude.
I used to be a competitive bodybuilder.
I know, dude.
Out here on Hotel Row, I was an NPC competitor for the longest time. Show out here, Border States. That's my other passion. I was huge into bodybuilding, but
we can tell. We know.
Buff midget
fucker.
No shit, I'm way down on what I was. Jesus.
No, I think that was the first time I met Tommy. Was I blew up the motor of my TJ?
Yeah,
I think that's how we all got in.
Yeah, because Kevin brought out that badass truck of his, and I was like,
dude, that was such a long day.
Yeah, dude, you guys didn't leave till it was dark.
Yeah, it was getting dark when we left.
And then my ass, I can sit and talk for fucking hours.
And we can too.
Starts talking shop.
And it was like, oh, yeah, dude, I got this motor right here ready to go. And you're like, oh, there was like a bracket broken off. Nope, you're not getting that one. You're getting this one. Like, less miles, here you go, you know? It was like, cool, sounds good. You need a clutch, too. Perfect, sounds good, you know? Like, cash deal, let's go.
Well, people have to remember in social media, like, if I fuck you over, everybody in Southern California will know or all over in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So why, like, and then I have people, like, I'm pretty basic. because I have another job or my main job. So I don't do a lot of like write you out this big receipt and all this. So like, well, how do I know you're going to own it? For one, my word. And I think everyone for the most part knows me for having a good word.
Absolutely.
Nobody has their word ain't worth shit anymore. When I first started, dude, someone was like, I need that motor. I'll pull that motor. And then they don't call. They don't show up. I'm like, I spent all day doing this. Now, like, I don't even touch any pull stuff without a deposit.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, how do you know I'm going to do it? Because my word. And my shop is on the same property as my house.
Yeah.
Have some street smarts. I'm not going to fuck you over when you know where I lay my head at. Yeah, or more importantly, my kids. Like, come on, guys. Like, have a little, like.
No, you're a straight shooter. You always have
that. There's a weird common sense thing that we get going on. Yeah, yeah, like, there's just not much of it.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Why is that, though, that, like, the average person with, like, maybe people who lack a little bit of mechanical inclination have this, like, theory that
they're gonna get
in the mechanical
over.
Industry, like, right? Oh, they're all trying to fuck you over.
It's too
like,
common. That's why.
It takes one bad shop.
One time.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of bad shops.
Dude, there are some, I won't say any names, but my buddy down the street owns a shop, and he's a fucking awesome dude. Shout out to Robbie. But he repairs a particular shop in Southern California's work all fucking time.
Yeah.
Like all the time. He goes, the minute I know that shit comes in, I know what I've got to do. Like there's just so much in the Jeep world, in the off-road world in Southern California. It's like crack. It's everybody's in it. Like it's nuts. So it's easy to make a buck, but.
Like, we get a lot of work from other shops. We have a lot of customers that, I mean. Bent Motorsports tries to be the best. Like, we genuinely want to be the best, and we want you to be stoked because we're going to go out on the trail, and we're going to be with you on the trail.
For sure.
The last thing I want is you breaking on the trail with me with you on the trail.
Like, on something I touched.
Yeah, with a car that we built.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we genuinely treat your vehicle when it's here like it's our vehicle.
And people don't understand like that. It's,
a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah,
we
like.
We went through a long conversation about that this week.
Yeah, these guys.
The least depth way, it was so frustrating for me to go through what we went through.
There's a meme out there that says you're not paying me for my time, you're paying me for the amount of time that I spent doing
your experience.
Your experience or something like that. Like, like there's other shops, but like in the Jeep world, like there's other stuff I don't know shit about. Like, I'm not gonna argue about like fucking plumbing because I don't know much about plumbing.
Right.
But when it comes to Jeep stuff, like don't if you're gonna call me for something when I don't there? Argue.
Yeah.
Like there's a reason you're calling me.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, now I don't know everything about Jeeps, and some customer recently like schooled me on parking light lenses on YJs. 94, 95 are specific to those years on a parking light lens. As long as I did this, I didn't know. They look identical. It's the king of the socket. Didn't know that. Oh, I said, no, they're all the same. He goes, no, they're different. I looked at him like, dude, you got me. But was I butthurt? No. I said, thanks, man.
Yeah,
I don't care how long you've been doing this shit.
More and more people now.
It doesn't matter how long you've been doing this shit. Yeah. You're always gonna learn something. So don't like. Yeah. But there are a lot of no-dills out there, and it gets pretty aggravating.
For him and I, at the age that we are, we get it all the time.
It's hard. It's really hard.
I was doing it when I was your age, and trust me, I get it. Like, oh, you're 25. What are you gonna know?
It took a lot of time before people
doing this a long
realize
time.
Like, oh, you're the like you said earlier.
Yeah.
Like you're the one I was talking to.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It really took a lot of time, and then you start schooling these people on like, oh no, I recommend this. Like, trust me, I have this on my own personal Jeep. Like,
that's
the
thing.
You have to do this when you go to this, and you know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I do that. I'll like
just send them a text message of my face and go, "This guy taught me."
Yeah.
And they'll be like, "Oh, okay, you're good."
Yeah. The old wise one.
The old fart taught you.
I live vicariously through David. he's just old. He can't hold the wrenches anymore.
Yeah, he just can't hold the wrenches. He's got arthritis.
Yeah.
You see my grip strength lately?
Yeah. Well, so let's wrap it up a little bit. What do you guys think? What anything you want to talk to Tommy about before we wrap it up?
Can you turn her into a Jeep girl?
Yeah, she's a Ford girl. What can we do to Jeep her up a little bit?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
So next time Tommy has a badass Jeep in his yard, we're going to
scoop
it up. Shit,
I got one now. Okay, that's several.
Okay, to my defense, I have already stated to pretty much every person in this room that this summer my goal is to learn how to wheel. Like, I've been like in like the off-road, like motorsports dealership world pretty much forever.
Yeah.
But like, I want to like
wheel.
Deepen that.
Let's do it.
I want to learn how to wheel, like. Learn, not just.
So
like,
here's how you learn to wheel. You don't take something that's a six-figure vehicle on 40s lockers and learn how to wheel.
I've got the perfect thing.
We put her in her.
I learned how to wheel in a CJ when 33s were the biggest, baddest tire you put on.
Yeah.
On a manual. That's how you learn to wheel.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. My boyfriend's got a manual 85 first gen Toyota 4Runner. That's
Toyota
be...
guy. I won't hold up.
Okay. All right.
Her taste sucks.
He's got a Toyota and the incorrect wing on his Subaru. So, like,
same guy. Son of a bitch.
You're a good guy, Troy.
However, he has a hell of a handlebar mustache, so that's pretty badass.
He's fucking sexy, which is helping. Yeah. But maybe next time we'll let you on a podcast.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Yourself. The thing that makes it up for him is the guy is a badass behind the wheel in his buggy and the dunes.
Oh, yeah?
True. Just got dunes the shit out of stuff.
Yeah? Like, that's badass.
The only thing I'm ever afraid of.
Take his Toyota out if it's a manual.
He can wheel like a motherfucker, too. You have to admit it.
He can drive, but he's just kind
of... Yeah, he's got the vehicle to learn in. Toyota,
well, it's a
like
sketchy
a
vehicle.
22R or something.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. And then once I master that, we'll move up to some big girl shit.
Master three pedals and 2 feet,
something
and you'll be
more
good.
Than 16 horsepower and, I don't know, Nautilus springs.
Yeah.
I can
burn
do the
a couple
three
clutches
pedal.
Up. Yeah. Burn a couple clutches up.
I can do the three pedal thing on the asphalt, but maybe on the
no,
trail.
When you're at
like a
60 degree angle.
Yeah, it's a world.
That's a whole different world. Yeah.
Well, this is perfect. We just end the podcast on Troy. Boom, you're roasted.
End it on him. Awesome.
Thanks for coming down.
Yeah,
man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate the piece of puzzle we need for our project.
Yeah, dude.
And literally, guys, seriously, call him. He's the fucking wizard with Jeeps. Just
well,
call him.
I am.
He'll answer your question.
Did you ever say where you're located?
Yeah. Roseman, California. Oh, okay. Lancaster, Palmdale area. Yeah. Well, Willis, if anyone knows where Willow Springs Raceway, I can see it from my front steps.
You can literally see it from
Yeah. So I hear it like Friday and Saturday. But get this. So I'm going to be doing Sergeant Jeep full time now. I'm quitting my engineering gig.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm quitting the corporate world. Yeah. Damn. So I haven't told many people about that, but they wanted to put me on it. Yeah. No, don't say that. I love you, don't say that.
Golden parachute. You're the best.
Yeah. No, I work on a rad program, but it's work life is it. So they wanted to put me on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday schedule from here on out because I'm one of the most experienced guys for flight test engineers with my aviation shit that I've been doing since 19. And I said, no. They're like, no, you have to. I'm like, no, I'll miss out on my kids. Like, no. I said, well, then here's my badge. But now, like, they called my bluff. So I put in my letter of resignation. The first, it was the kick in the ass that I needed. So a little nervous, but I'm quitting.
It's gonna be fine, dude. Well, you'll be fine.
Stepping away from an engineering salary, a senior engineer salary. So it's like
walking away from six figures. I'm guessing probably high six figures.
Oh, no.
To go into Jeep,
high, but
to sell Dana 44.
Yeah. But
put here.
But you know, I so they put me on the shift, and I've been working it for like a week or two. But like I have not been so stressed and happy. Now I'll actually be able to go on the Rubicon. They'll do all this other shit.
See?
So I'm going to take in more work
we'll
and shit.
Next year, we're doing the Duke Rubicon with Tommy New.
I'll be able to wheel by then.
Yeah.
And have your own vehicle. Have
see there.
Builder vehicle.
We'll tell Troy all about it after we're done.
Not an XJ.
Not an XJ. Definitely not an XJ.
Well, solid axle swap that Subi. You'll be fine.
I'll put smaller tires on my XJ and run the Rubicon with you guys.
The Rubicon?
I'll do it.
Rubicon.
We're done.
Cool, man. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to the bathroom. Good boy,
Mag. I'm gonna die.
That's fuck North. I'm like, no.
I
need my security clearance still.
Yeah, I'm gonna hit the not record button.